the Public News Service Dillon Newscast, August the 30th, 2024. I'm Mike Clifford. Election Day will be here before we know it, and Arizona is gearing up for possible setbacks from embedded election deniers.
Alex Gulotta is the Arizona State Director with All Voting is Local Action and says there are candidates who want to take power away from voters and who have already claimed that if they don't win, the election was rigged. Gulotta says that simply isn't how things work.
The election is the people saying who won, and people can't say ahead of time that the only way there's a fair election is if I win. And we've just had a lot of that in recent years.
Gulotta says his biggest concern for Arizona going into the fall is what he calls a longer and more complicated ballot, which in most counties will consist of two sheets. He suspects that will create a number of opportunities for there to be issues processing ballots, but wants Arizona voters to know that election officials have backup procedures in place for if and when those situations arise. I'm Alex Gonzalez reporting.
Next from CNN, Vice President Kamala Harris Thursday offered her most expansive explanation to date on why she's changed some of her positions on fracking and immigration, telling CNN's Dana Bash her values haven't shifted, but her time as vice president provided new perspective. In that CNN-exclusive sit-down interview, Harris also said she would name a Republican to serve in her cabinet if elected. Meantime, former President Donald Trump is vowing to eliminate or alter thousands of government jobs if he wins in November, and that could have a massive impact in nearby Virginia.
One major change would be gutting civil service protections, which aim to keep millions of federal employees performing day-to-day jobs away from political influence. Donald Sherman with Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington says it's important for the government to function for all people.
You can understand why you want to have government food inspectors or government highway technicians who have not just years but decades of expertise and, you know, have loyalty to their craft as opposed to loyalty to a particular politician.
A plan for the Trump administration put together by a right-wing think tank called Project 2025 calls to reclassify tens of thousands of employees as political appointees. Labor groups are worried this could dismantle nonpartisan bureaucracy by cutting jobs, taking away union rights, lowering pay, and privatizing some federal departments. Trump says that's exactly what he has to do to, quote, drain the swamp and restore America's trust in government. Sherman says civil service protections also protect Americans from corruption.
If you are a person in need of assistance from the Department of Justice or the Department of Housing and Urban Development, there's not someone on the line asking you, well, before I offer you assistance, what's your political party?
I'm Will Walkie.
This is Public News Service. Next to New York, where locals could see relief from medical debt if several national proposals move forward.
The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau proposed a new rule to eliminate medical debt from credit reports. Studies show this kind of debt doesn't predict whether a person can pay down a debt. An Urban Institute report finds more than 740,000 New Yorkers have medical debt. Ursula Rosen with Citizen Action of New York says these can remove the punitive aspects of medical debt.
So what we're talking about is relief for the 15 million Americans that have medical debt, as well as people who we know are skipping care or delaying care because they're scared of the debt and what impact it would have on their lives.
Vice President Kamala Harris is supporting the Bureau's proposal while considering other ways to cancel medical debt. But congressional Republicans, such as New York Representative Mike Lawler, oppose these measures. Several House GOP members signed a letter to the Bureau saying its proposed rule can negatively affect credit access and affordability for all consumers. I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
And Oregon families that are eligible have until Monday to apply for summer food benefits. We get more from our Eric Tiganoff.
The summer EBT program provides families with a one-time payment of $120 per child in a household. The program was started during the pandemic and made permanent this year. Most who qualified automatically received benefits. David Whelan with Partners for a Hunger-Free Oregon says one in six children in the state face food insecurity.
We know that spikes in the summer when access to school meals is interrupted. Summer EBT is the most direct way of addressing that summer hunger. It lets families access food that's nourishing and appropriate for their families.
Whelan says the state has already distributed $40 million in benefits to 330,000 children this summer. Families can check their eligibility for the program at sebt.oregon.gov.
Finally, researchers mapped American croplands that have fallen out of production in hopes of inspiring new uses for them, such as renewable energy.
We get more from Kathleen Shannon.
Roughly 30 million acres of croplands in the United States have been abandoned since the 1980s, including 1.5 million in South Dakota, according to a recent paper. Tyler Lark is one of the report authors from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He says some of these lands have been restored to natural ecosystems. Others, ones perhaps currently populated by invasive species, could be the answer to big questions the country is facing about where to house increasing renewable energy development.
We ideally want to avoid our best and most productive ag lands, but we also don't want to encroach pristine or native ecosystems. And so formerly cropped lands might hit that sweet spot in the middle.
Lark says those acres could be used for biofuel, wind, or solar production. Legislators have written bills to promote renewable energy development without threatening the country's richest soils. One example is the Protecting Future Farmland Act, introduced last September by U.S. Senators Tommy Baldwin and Chuck Grassley.
This is Mike Clifford. Thank you for ending your week with Public News Service. Remember, and listener supported. Hear us on interesting radio stations on your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.